Animal rights advocates say a Tasmanian plan to trap and cull sugar gliders is a blunt approach to dealing with falling swift parrot numbers. Until quite recently, scientists didn't know that the cute little critters actually preyed on swift parrot chicks. Animal Liberation Tasmania says the cull plan is short-sighted and does nothing to deal with the bigger issues facing the swift parrot, like habitat loss from logging. Mary Jo Dowsett reports.
Tasmania is home to an abundance of wildlife, with many of them being native to the island and many who are facing extinction due to multiple threats. The swift parrot is one such animal whose numbers have significantly dropped in recent years. In response to the dwindling parrot numbers, the Tasmanian government has begun planning ways in which to combat the issue, starting with culling the sugar glider, an animal believed to be responsible for the decline of the swift parrot. The plan includes investing $150,000 towards trapping the sugar gliders within nest boxes right across Tasmania, before eventually being culled. Spokesperson for Animal Liberation Tasmania, Ms. Christy Alger, says the government's new plan is merely a quick fix and little thought has been put into the long-term solution.
By culling sugar gliders without any future planning to control breeding numbers, without any future planning to control deforestation, habitat loss, all of these issues that are significantly impacting the swift parrot, it's going to be an ineffective measure. And what will end up happening is next breeding cycle, they're just going to have to go out and kill all over again. What we could actually instead be looking at is looking at the human impact on the swift parrot and alleviating pressure that way so that we don't actually have to go out wholesale massacring other animals.
Miss Alger believes the government's decision to solely blame the sugar glider is simply the easier option.
It's easier than tackling forestry. It's easier than tackling deforestation. It's easier than tackling human behaviours. It's basically looking outwards and scapegoating another species. That, as it happens, we're responsible for its presence here, and we're also responsible for its increased coming into contact with the swift parrot. It's just easier all round to blame the sugar glider than to actually look to ourselves.
Professor of Wildlife Conservation at the University of Tasmania, Chris Johnson, says although the decision is likely to be unsuccessful in the long run, it may be a necessary step to help keep the swift parrot alive.
I think as a long-term strategy, it's probably not sensible. But the other way to look at this is that we're in a bit of a crisis at the moment. The current rate of predation by sugar gliders on swift parrots is really high, and any sensible prediction is that swift parrots are heading rapidly to extinction. So we probably need to act quickly so that the animals don't go extinct, you know, while we're wondering about a more sustainable long-term strategy.
Recent proposals made by the Randwick City Council in Sydney to keep domestic cats indoors has also raised concerns, with Liberal Councillor Harry Stavrinos saying the idea is unenforceable.
I know that there are 12 million feral cats in Australia that are causing quite a lot of destruction to our ecosystem and to our native fauna and flora. But what I resent is when we have a council trying to target responsible pet owners. If we are going to approach this issue, we need to look at it from other perspectives. What can we do? What sort of programs can we offer to encourage responsible pet ownership? Not by trying to enforce laws that are unenforceable and won't be policed.
Mr. Stavrinos believes governments and councils are becoming too protective, implementing unnecessary laws that are affecting the general public.
People in New South Wales, or people for that matter right across Australia, are fed up with living in a nanny state where we're overgoverned by all these rules and regulations that mean nothing and they can't be enforced. And we've got to a stage now where we're basically telling people what they can and what they can't do, and people are fed up.
Mary Jo Dowsett had that story.